This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
When you're a dad in this crazy world, you give everything you can. Gee, it'd be great if there were some pals that could lend a helping hand. Now there's a show where you can go. It's a place to grow. It's Dadcast, talking about our kids. Dadcast, and all of the stuff they did. Dadcast, so great to have a friend. Dadcast, on PTB.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 3 of the PTBN Dadcast. I'm your co-host, JT Rosero, coming at you here on this Friday evening, which shows you, yes, we do have children. And joining me, as always, my partner here on the show, my longtime friend, Don Carrara. Don, how are you?
Good, buddy. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here on a Friday night. It's great to escape the house for Friday night.
This is what escaping is for us. It's coming down to my basement to watch baseball and talk about being dads and hopefully eat some wings. I hope everyone enjoyed that jingle that opened the show. It's a brand new theme song. Our buddy Todd Weber crafted that for us, and I love it. Do you love it?
I do. You sent it to me. I actually played it in my car on the way home. It's got the little Full House, little Step by Step, little Growing Pains vibe. So I'm pretty excited that we have our own jingle. That's awesome.
A lot of Growing Pains that we're going to discuss tonight. If you're new to the Dadcast world, we did our first episode about a month and a half ago or so. We talked Paw Patrol. And then episode 2, we dove into the world of Disney princesses with our buddy Jordan Duncan. But tonight we thought we'd go pure potpourri. We're just going to kind of bounce around some dad topics and I actually wanted to start in a very specific place, Don. So I mentioned Todd Weber. He made the song for us. I saw Todd this past weekend in Florida at our WrestleMania tailgate for PTBN. And you could tell Todd was sans family and sans kids because he got hammered and threw up. And it was great. You know, we were all bummed. Even my wife was bummed. And Don, that kind of takes me to our first topic, which is life before kids and how grand it was. So this weekend was kind of special for us. I was able to, I went away for work for a few days. And then I went down to Florida, where my wife then met me. We left the kids behind. We did a tailgate. We did some theme parks. I went to WrestleMania. It was grand. And
I was stuck here in Rhode Island at my job.
Yes, with your children.
With
your
my
job.
Kids, yeah.
So, what you know, it's funny because as I was there and we were batting around topics, as we knew we were hanging out tonight, and you were like, why don't we talk about what life was out, you know, like without kids? And I said, well, I'm living it right now, so this is a great topic because it was definitely a throwback. And one of the things I always think about before having kids was like a Saturday morning, laying in bed, going and laying on the couch, just watch whatever we wanted to watch. Like, just no rush, no place to be. And, you know, if we had to be somewhere, it felt like a real pain in the ass. And now you gotta fucking be somewhere because you can't just lay around till 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 noon, just watching TV, killing time, nursing a hangover, going out to breakfast. I mean, everything is a pain in the ass, right?
Well, you know, my Saturdays, I will actually have to be up probably at 6, and I really, that's like a half an hour window for me to watch whatever the hell I want to watch, to do whatever the hell I want to do, because once my oldest comes down, she's getting the TV, you know, and Michelle and I were just talking about, you know, life before kids and how we used to just on a Saturday, maybe get up at like 9 o'clock and watch this just like do it yourself show called Sell This House on, I don't even remember, A&E Network. And that was our Saturday mornings. And we just sipped the coffee. We took our time. And I agree, if we had to be somewhere, it was a pain in the ass, but it was,
you could still get out of the house.
You could still get out.
You know, it didn't take you 3 hours to get everything together. I mean, it's amazing the difference, even with one kid. I mean, it's obviously with two now, it's even more so. But even with one, it was such a change of that having to just be on someone else's clock. And I think that's what being a parent's all about. I mean, when you boil it all down to everything, it's about being on somebody else's clock. You are very rarely on your own clock. And even if you have full control, like I like to think we're both pretty good with, we dictate kind of what goes on with the kids. We don't let the kids dictate us. But it still doesn't matter. Like they're still up when they're up. And, you know, my son's still in a crib, so he will sit there and call for us and call for us and call for us until we finally get up. And the thing that bothers me, and I'm wondering if your kids are the same way, if they stay up, like, extra late or we're out, you know, do they ever, like, make up for it in the morning?
Rarely. And, you know, because I going back to what you said, you know, we're on their clock, and I have arguments with my daughter, Gianna, all the time. I'm like, you think my night stops here? I go, I have all this stuff to do, and then I have to step back. I'm like, I'm fucking arguing with a five-year-old, and it's never gonna work. But yeah, I mean, the time rarely gets made up. If it is, it's maybe like a extra half hour, 40 minutes or so, because she's so used to getting up early.
Once I was less. They fucking, it's the opposite. If they usually get up at 6:30 and they go to bed like an hour later, they're up fucking 40 minutes earlier. It's like, yeah. What is wrong with you? Sleep in. No one is getting you up. Like, literally no one is waking them up. There's no alarm. There's no job. There's nothing. There is nothing that makes them get out of bed. But there they are, up early, and then 2 days later, they're assholes. I mean, they're even bigger assholes than normal because they're without their normal amount of sleep. And it you know, then they just become pricks for the next couple of days.
Well, I'll be able to touch base with you on Sunday because I'm taking her to see The Wizard of Oz tomorrow at the school I work at. And it's a 6:30 show. It's about 2.5 hours. So we'll be home after probably close to 10. She'll probably fall asleep in the car on the way home. And I'm hoping that will actually get me... maybe an extra hour on Sunday morning, but probably because I'm up regardless. Like, as we were saying before the show, if I sleep till 7 on a weekend, I'm okay with that. That's good because I'm usually up at 5:30. And then she's so hard to wake up in the week to go to school. Like, we're waking her up in the week. She's waking us up.
You better not be bitching about anything. You wake her up?
We wake her up in the weekdays, and then she wakes us up on the weekends. It's like torture trying to get this kid out of bed in the morning to go to school. But she'll come down and, like, you know, 6 o'clock on a weekend, and she's ready to roll.
You're going to get screwed by number two. But no, actually, my daughter's not bad because the best thing is, you know, she's 5. By this point, they're pretty self-sufficient. Like, if it was just her, she gets up, she'll grab the iPad or something, you know, just go do her own thing. Like, she'll never, you won't even hear from her. It's him that's the pain in the ass. And then even if you wake him up and you bring him in to, like, lay in bed with us, he does not sit still. He is motor running 100 miles an hour from the minute he wakes up till the minute he lays down to go to bed. He's just out of control. But the, you know, here's something that I probably haven't done. I don't know if I've ever done in my life, but it was, so I flew to Arizona for work and then took a red eye to Florida, for WrestleMania weekend. And I don't sleep on planes, and I tried my hardest and I could not sleep. So I was up from about 8 a.m. Pacific time. No. Yeah. 8 a.m. No. Would it be the other way around? 5 a.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
8 a.m. Eastern time, Thursday morning. I went to bed at 3 a.m. Saturday morning without ever napping or anything. And I think back, you know, I'm like, this is what life was. I mean, you could do this shit and then spend 2 days making up the sleep. Not here. You know, not here. You get home and you're already, you know, everything, you know, the brakes are off and you're back flying. But it was a nice reminder of what life was like. Like, even just going around, we went to Epcot, my wife and I. And just, you know, there's all these strollers. And you just walk right through them. Who gives a shit? You're not pushing anything. You're not chasing anyone. We didn't eat, like, a specific time. We're like, well, let's have a snack now. Well, let's have a drink now. Let's go on this ride. You know, kids are screaming. You know, parents are throwing their kids in the stroller, waiting in these hour-long lines. We're going through the single rider line. Just whatever. Who cares? I mean, it was. I love my kids, but it was a glorious couple of days. A nice reminder of what used to be.
Well, the escapism is awesome, you know, and I think we just want to even just, you know, reiterate what you said. We absolutely love our kids. We wouldn't change anything in the world. It's awesome. But yeah, to have those moments, make them even more and more of a specialty. Like, we'll just escape to Vermont, leave the kids with her parents who are in Vermont. We'll go, you know, to Burlington, which is like 2 hours away. And we're like, wow. I mean, we get to operate on our own time. We can go back to the hotel, take a nap if we want. We're going to try to sleep in late the next day. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but maybe we'll get the 8 o'clock
the
and it's
option.
Like, whoa, we have the option is there. And it's and most of the time my wife falls asleep at the regular time anyway that she normally would because it's tiring. It's exhausting. And now, you know, we have our second who's going to be 10 months and it's been a little bit of an adjustment period. I think we kind of have it down now and she's a great baby. But overall, it's taken a lot of the wind out of us.
It is. And, you know, it's going to be a long time before you get the wind back. But it's funny, too, because even stuff like going to the movies, like I see maybe one movie a year now. And now that Star Wars is going to be out every year, that's probably going to be the movie I see once a year. Because you only get so many nights. Like, my parents and her mom are great about babysitting, but we don't really have any other babysitters yet. So for us to, like, give up the night, it's really going to be something we want to do. And then there's stuff we have to do. But a lot of times, too, we have to really pick and choose. Like, I would love to just say, oh, you know, me and you could have went out tonight to a movie. My wife's out. I'm going to get the sitter or whatever. But I feel like I can only maximize so many things and utilize so many avenues. So the stuff like a movies or a bowling or even just going out, you know, it becomes less and less. And this anyone who doesn't have kids listening to this, this is fucking awful.
But yeah, we're not really making this sound good at all.
And it's not. I mean, it's great, but there's just parts that clearly aren't. But it, you know, it offsets it because there's so much good that comes out of it too. But you know, this podcast is about the nonsense, not the warm fuzzy stuff. So anyway, that was just things I thought about while being away this weekend, and how great it is. So tell me, what is your, if you could have the kids out of your house, so not even go away, like if you could have your parents take the kids from Friday, say around 3 o'clock until Monday around like noon, and you had Friday afternoon through Monday morning to yourself with your wife, you can leave any other stuff out.
Yeah,
we know that's implied. Yeah. But what is like your ideal, like what is your dream weekend at this point?
Well, we probably go to New York because, and I say this because prior to kids, we used to go to New York every Christmas. We'd see a couple Broadway shows. We'd meet up with a friend of ours there and we'd just hang out. Sometimes we'd actually stay in Times Square. And I think the last time we did that was, we brought Gianna when she was maybe two, but we haven't had one of those outings in the longest time. So I think we would definitely go back there or probably back to Burlington, Vermont.
All right. Well, give me a weekend here. Just
here
without the kids, like your normal, like what your weekend was.
Okay.
Like, give me that. Like, yeah. Without going anywhere, just in your house or around the neighborhood.
Oh, we can't leave.
Can
we leave the house? Like, okay, we'd probably go out to dinner on Friday night.
Yeah, you can do that.
We'd definitely go and see a movie, or we'd honestly just fucking sleep in on Saturday, fucking bum around in PJs like fucking noon, and then just kind of see how the day goes. Probably get like the shopping done, just all the bullshit that you have to do that's maximized even more now because there's not enough time to do it, and then just kind of enjoy the weekend and take advantage of it as much as possible. That's ideal to me. And taking naps.
I would sit and just do nothing. What is, I would definitely do nothing. You said something now that I wanted to comment on. I forgot. What were you talking about? It was, shopping and stuff. Like, the time. What is the time? Because I feel like, has it always been that no one ever has any time? I feel like it's a bigger thing now. Like, that all this, you don't have time to go shopping. You don't have time to do this. Like, what is it that causes the lack of time? But we just, is there more activities? Is there more people? So there's more to do. Is it the digital stuff? Like what is it that causes the additional lack of time?
I try to figure that out constantly. I think just speaking from my own, you know, experience, I think just, my job's a little bit more demanding. Michelle's is too. And having the kids too, and going back to what you said, being on their clock, you have to almost operate. I can't really even on any weeknight sit down earlier than 7:30, 7:45. That's when both of them are in bed. So if I needed to actually go do shopping on a weeknight, I'd have to go at 8 o'clock, because that's how it operates. Especially if I'm by myself with them, that's even more and more difficult. And I feel like now just with having two little beings in the house, and I think just the demand overall from jobs and just, I don't know, I feel like the world itself's gotten busier, maybe not just from kids, but just in general. So I don't really have an answer.
It's weird. Like, I just feel like it was, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what makes it busier. I don't know if it's work demand, if there's just more people in your way when you're trying to do stuff than there were like years ago, you know, is it just more fucking congestion all around? Like just driving somewhere, it takes longer. You know, shopping takes longer because there's more assholes in your way. You know, like, is it just that, I guess, is that what it is? So you're home at night now. You said before, like, so your wife works, you might work late since you're home alone with both kids. What is like the one thing that you just try to survive, like with the kids? Like, what are you just trying to like when it's done, what part of the evening that when it's done, you just like, all right, like another night without like getting bombed, you know, like what is the,
when did I finally relax?
But what is there one thing specifically that like you're on edge about that? Okay. I'm through this part of the night and I can just be okay.
Oh, easily, without a doubt, because it's getting my daughter to go pee before bed, because sometimes it's very smooth. Other times, it's a fucking like Braveheart
battle. Why do they want to hold the pee? I love peeing. It's like the best thing.
And a couple weeks ago, and I agree with you, a couple weeks ago, she didn't want to go before bed. She's like, I'm too tired. And I forgot. It's one of the, here we go. My memory is also really shitty after having kids. So I'm reading her a book. I did all the stuff. We brushed the teeth. She did her bath. I forgot to have her go pee. I'm like, fuck. So I tell her, you got to go. I don't want to. I don't want to. And I said, fine. You know, you pee your pants and all this, blah, blah, blah. 1 a.m. Michelle gets me because I was downstairs. A little bit conscious. I was downstairs sleeping on the couch because my dog had surgery. So she couldn't go up the stairs. So I was down there. And Michelle came down to get me and said, Gianna peed in the bed at 1 o'clock. So here she is giving her like a shower at 1 o'clock. Oh, I was fucking ripped. And I said, see, I told you, this is why you go to the bathroom before that. Cause I don't like having my minimum amount of sleep disrupted.
Right.
So
by something so fucking stupid, like just pee before bed. What is the hold of, what is their mental block? Why do they fight? Just go pee.
But it has to be part of the routine. If I forget that and she's in the bed, it's fucking done. It's impossible. It will turn into some type of tirade. She will melt down for like probably sometimes 20 minutes until she finally actually goes pee.
You can just get her like a bedpan or something.
Yeah, I know. But that's what I have to deal with every. That's if I get through that, then I just feed the baby because that's nice and smooth. She goes into bed and then I'm sitting down and I'm like, good, because they don't usually wake up most of the time.
peeing is the worst. I mean, it's super annoying. Like, potty training's a pain in the ass. But then just getting them to still just pee. Like, my daughter's finally to the point where she'll just go. And you rarely have to, like, push her to go, thankfully. But for a while there, it was torture. For me, it's the fear of choking during dinner.
We're talking about this,
during dinner. Because, like, you don't really, like, the way they shove all the food in their mouth and are talking and they're dancing and they're jumping up and down. And it's like, I don't know the fucking Heimlich. And I've told myself I need to go learn it. And I've watched video. Like, maybe I can figure it out. But I don't want to be put in the spot. I don't want to have to be tested to try and get something out of their airway. And so for me, it's like the scariest 45 minutes. And it's getting a little bit better now that they're older. But I remember when both of them were young, like one-ish, and they were just starting to eat. Like, I would just be sweating throughout all of dinner, just like hoping that there was no choking incident. Like, it's just, to me, that's one of the scariest parts of all. And I don't really have any, like, it never really happened here. But it's just this fear I have of, like, not knowing what to do. You know, when it comes down to it, I'm sure some instincts will kick in, but it's just, to me, like getting through that dinner with them bouncing up and down. And my son is just, like I said, he's constantly moving. So for him to sit down and eat, like, I just want to give him all soft shit and be like, don't, you know, you cannot eat anything hard at all. And like, I outlaw like anything hard, like in the backseat of the car, like apples or like a lollipop or something like that. I won't allow it because I'm like, if anything ever happens and you're on the highway, like, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? It'd be like almost impossible to get out of the car. And like, so this is the shit. Like, this is where I'm at with eating. Like, if it was up to me, they would just eat, drink like smoothies and eat yogurt all day. So I don't have to worry about it.
That's funny because when we were talking about, you know, this earlier, I never really feared choking. Like, of course, it's like, it's a shitty thing to happen. And, you know, it's been in my mind, but it's never been one of those factors that I constantly think about while they're eating. Probably just because, you know, I've never had to really battle with it. But if it did happen, I also don't know what I would do. I think instincts would probably lend themselves to us and fate of God, hopefully, on our side there. But yeah, that's never really been a big concern. Maybe it should be.
Probably. I don't know why it is. Maybe it's just whatever. For whatever reason, it's something that's always bothered me. Is there anything like that for you that's just like you're constantly in fear of happening?
Constant fear. I wouldn't say so much fear. It's more of like the disruption of the routine, though, as we mentioned earlier with, you know, the peeing. That's it. And she's good at it. She knows she has to do it, but she's actually had some accidents in her bed, and that kind of disrupts my whole schedule now because it's barely enough to keep up on the laundry as it is. And then you got to throw a bunch of fucking pissy sheets.
Does she shit herself at night?
Never. That's never happened. She did throw up when she was really young in the bed like 3 times. We had to like do 3 sheet changes. That was actually scary. And actually coming back to it, I do have a fear. It happened, you know, this year for the first time was the pneumonia. And the only reason I have that in the back of my mind now is because she got sick and had some similar symptoms not too long ago. I'm like, oh my God, she's going to have another pneumonia. because her heart was beating really, really fast that first time, and I had never seen anything like that. Michelle hadn't either. She took the temp. We called the doctor. We had her, got her to the hospital, and it was a pneumonia. So I'm thinking next year around this time, that's where I'm going to be probably really super careful and trying to make sure she stays healthy, because that wasn't even on my radar before that.
So shitting themselves is disgusting. So that happened one night.
Great segue.
So we just hear like this whimpering in her room. I think she was probably like three, maybe, just this whimpering in her room. And we go in, and she used to sleep at that point, like on her knees, you know. And I walk in, and I touched her butt. You know, like I just like touched the back of her pants, and I just felt it. And it was, I don't know how she was sitting there in it, because it was literally one of the nastiest fucking smells I have ever smelled in my life. She peed and pooped in her pants.
Ugh,
so it's tough. We had to do the shower, you know, we had to clean out of the crack. And it was awful. I mean, it was a rough, rough night. And I think she ended up just staying in our bed after, because it was like so traumatic. But I'll never forget that. The feel of it in the pants and then the smell is like burnt into my mind.
She had a pad on the bed, I hope, though, right? Like, was there a pad underneath that probably protects in case for accidents?
Yeah, probably, but I don't know if she even laid in it, because I feel like she was on her knees. I don't know. All I remember is touching it and being like, this is fucking brutal, like one of the nastiest things I've ever experienced.
Well, while we're on the topic of bathroom stuff, you know, potpourri, we could use it in some of this. Yeah. So there was a period of time, it was actually kind of in the summer, and Gianna's been going, you know, to the bathroom by herself for a long time, but there was a period of time where she wasn't wiping. So she'd come home and, you know, you see the skid marks in the underwear. I wish I had we had a video here because I could tell you her facial expression. We'd be like, did you wipe today? Or, and she'd kind of like look at you, but like look to the side like this. And then when we started really like harassing her about wiping and washing hands, she'd come out, you wash your hands. Oh, I forgot. Let me go do that. And it was like this kind of lying. She was lying about it because she didn't want to touch the poop. And I'm like, well, you know, welcome to the real world. Right. No one wants to do that.
We don't want to touch your poop either.
No, no. And she's been better, much better since. And we've actually, Michelle learned this, you know, tip somewhere. If she kind of has a little bit of pee in the underwear, like she didn't make it fast enough, a little bit dribbled out, she makes her wash it in the sink and keep it there. And she's actually done that. And we haven't really had.
She should make her wash it. She should make her leave it on her pillow and sleep next to it.
Oh, that's fucking horrible.
By the way, I mean, we've seen some nasty shit. We worked at Stop and Shop.
Oh, God.
And we've seen like the bathrooms there and stuff in the back room. So and we've lived like grossness.
Yeah.
And this shit's gross. Having kids is gross. There's a lot of gross stuff.
But let me ask you, because before becoming a parent, one of my biggest apprehension, I think, was I'm not going to want to fucking touch the poop and wipe. That doesn't even bother me.
I know.
So even if they had like an explosion, yes, it's disgusting. That would be like, you know, to the 10th level. But it's weird. You end up adapting to that. Same with like vomit is what gets me. I can't deal with that. Mm. But like the other end, it's okay. I can deal with cleaning up the poop. It's one of those things you just kind of become, you know, immune to after a while.
So I don't know if I told a story on air. I don't think so, because we haven't really done potpourri. So over the winter, we just had this stretch where, like, my son was sick constantly. He had everything. He had pneumonia, crew. I mean, you name it, he had it, right? And then my wife and I both had the stomach bug. And he, so on the day we both had the stomach bug, I mean, she's getting sick upstairs. I'm getting sick downstairs. We have no help. It's just the two of us. My son takes his diaper off, and he had shit in it. And or maybe Juliana took it off him. I forget what the hell happened, but his shit got all over the kitchen from the diaper. So now here I am, like, throwing up. I haven't eaten. I feel awful. And I got to clean up his shit all over the kitchen. Like, it was fucking gross. So I'm at wit's end. I mean, we had been out of work. I had been out of work. We had been sick for like a month. And we had had it. I mean, just had it. I was like at the end of my rope. So my daughter comes in, you know, before bed one night, and she's just like bitching about her ear hurting. Just saying her ear hurts, my ear hurts, and keeps getting up like every hour. My ear hurts, my ear. I mean, I am just like, I am burnt. I am done. So it was probably like 1 or 2 in the morning, and she comes in again, my ear hurts. And I mean, this is like the meanest I've ever been, right? I mean, I don't yell at my kids. I'm not like the authoritarian dad or anything like that, but I pretty much yelled her back into her room and was like, get in that bed and don't get up again until the morning. And I'll never forget the look of horror on her face, like scared horror on her face. And she stayed there till the morning. In the morning, she comes in and pulls her hand away from her ear that was hurting, and blood is coming out of her ear.
Oh.
Just blood everywhere out of her ear. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, what did I do? Like, I yelled this kid into bed, and she's freaking out. It was probably the most scared she's ever been in her life. And now, like, she blew her eardrum out or something. But I guess it turned out that she had a ear infection, and the pressure burst, which I guess is actually preferred versus, like, if it stayed in there and damaged her eardrum or something like that. So the bleeding, it's like a tear, it gets perforated, the eardrum. But, yeah, it's just so, whatever. I mean, no one's perfect, I guess, but... Like, I felt awful. Like, I felt awful for a while after that one.
But then you got to step back, too, and that's a good point, because we've done that, too. Like, you know, we made her go to school when she was saying, I don't feel well, because we thought, oh, is she trying to get out of school? And then she ended up, that was kind of right before the pneumonia. And then you just have to kind of look at yourself and say, hey, in the grand scheme of things, we're good at what we do, I think. You know, we give them the love. We give them everything that they need. But I think sometimes it's okay to have those moments where we just get stern, tell it like it is. And then it's like, you know, the coincidence, of course, of the ear bleed. I mean,
that
you
being
couldn't
the
have
one time.
That. You couldn't have predicted that. But
and I hate to do it like in my day thing. But in our day, we were treated like dirt a lot of the time. You know, like that's just what it was. Like we weren't really as coddled. And, you know, maybe we were a little bit, but not really. I mean, I came home from the hospital on my mother's lap in my dad's convertible in the fucking snow. Like, I mean, he didn't even have like no traction or anything. I mean, like, and she literally held me in the front seat of the way. Like, so, I mean, we kind of survived. Like, I feel like we're the last generation to survive all the stupid shit that could possibly happen to you. So in that, like, part of me is just like, you know, are we doing too much? Like, should we just let them do whatever? It's a weird line to toe. Like, I feel like people who were born after like the early 90s, when they start having kids, I'm curious what level of attention and coddling they're going to give. And I guess they're already probably having kids. God, we're fucking old. But
yeah.
I'm curious what that is, because to me, it's like, you know, we're kind of the last group of people that grew up in that wild west of parenting where you could still do whatever the hell you wanted, you know, whatever, smoke around the kids, drink around, you know, drink and drive. Like, I remember my uncle with open beer cans in the fucking car, like with me and my cousin driving around. I mean, I remember riding in the back of the truck, like just out in the, like in the bed of the truck, like driving around, like shit like that is maybe reserved for like fucking hillbillies nowadays. Yeah. I don't know. But I feel like it's not, you know, it's not like an everyday thing. We're driving over Rhode Island, like, you know, suburban areas, just in the back of a truck while my uncle's like fucking drinking a beer. You know, it's just like that stuff doesn't exist today. So it's an odd... It's an odd place we're in.
Well, I think that even relates to where's the time gone? I think with just all the changes in the world, just even coming from, you know, technology, social media, all of these things, kids being connected, older kids being connected. And I think if parents and what we're doing is trying to give them, you know, guidelines and rules, not necessarily be, you know, as you said, always authoritarian, but teaching them proper ways to think, to, you know, the manners, please and thank you, I think is going to be beneficial, because, you know, we're seeing that. We're seeing some of those deficiencies in the world today. And I see them too. Constantly, you see half of the, you know, that millennial population doing the things they're supposed to be doing. And the other half, it's, you know, they might need stronger practice in some of those areas. And I don't know. I mean, you said coddling. I don't feel we're doing that, but you wonder, though.
I'm sure we're coddling more than like more we than were coddled. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it's a given. Like, I don't think it's a thing anymore.
Well, parenting's changed, too. I mean, fathers are a lot more involved.
That's what I was going to say.
I think
say,
of my father, I don't think he did much when I was a baby. You know, he wanted all the fun.
Right.
You know, but we're much more active, I feel. All my friends who are dads are, you know, 50% in that game. It's never really imbalanced. There's not an imbalance, I should say.
Right. I think they were looked at as more of like the stern figure, you know, like, so they were always the ones that, you know, laid the law down or whatever else. That's just changed. I think it's changed. I think you're right. 100%. So I'm hungry. So what I think we should do is take a break. Let's get our wing order in, because it's a rare night off for us. And then what we're going to do is we're going to come back. We have a couple of topics we want to touch on, and then we're going to go into our mailbag. We got a bunch of questions from our great listeners out there. So why don't we take a breather? We'll take a break. I think you should go pee before we get into segment
two. I don't want
to. No, come on. All right, so go pee. We'll be right back. Where I can go, how I like, if I want it, whatever keeps me high.
Promotion.
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And, of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
She sits alone by a lamppost, trying to find a thought that's escaped her mind. She says, there's the one I love the most.
We are back here, episode number 3 of the DadCast. Hope you're having a good time. We are, and we just put our food order in, so we're looking forward to that and just hanging out as soon as this thing's done. So, Don, I was driving home tonight, and there was a fight in the car over what song we're going to listen to. I wanted to listen to Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty was on, and then some Justin Bieber song that my wife and daughter like was on, and we were going back and forth, and Baker Street won it because it's the better song. And then later on, there was another song that came on that I demanded stay on, and that was Big Pun, You Came Up. And Don, that's because I take control of the car, man. I don't kowtow to the children when it comes to car, car music, driving music.
You took control of my car with the music.
I did.
It's all good.
That's right. I mean, to me, there's some stuff I'm willing to make budge, to budge on, to move on. I want to listen to what I want to listen to when I'm driving. And there's times where, if my son is, inconsolable, we'll put on, Sesame Street music or something. And my wife is softer because she is with them much more than I am. I mean, she's a stay-at-home mom. So she is home, all day. So whatever. So I think she has to, play it sometimes. Not when I'm in the car. So, and I will, I try and censor best I can. I'll avoid, Backspin and Fly on Sirius because those aren't censored stations. But, I've played a lot of different stuff. I've played Biggie in the car, and... a lot of times they like it, and a lot of times I don't care if they do. So I was curious what your driving habit is when it comes to music.
Well, I usually control it. She doesn't really, Gianna really doesn't give me too many direct orders. But when she does, it's a rarity. I'll usually put it on because it's never kids' music, though.
Right.
I mean, long time ago, it used to be the soundtrack to Frozen. Now it's she likes Katy Perry.
Yeah,
she likes
that's fine.
Rachel Platten. She likes Demi Lovato because she hears them on the radio and she sings them. So I.
But see, that's
iTunes.
Good.
It is good. It's really good. She like Peppino the Italian Mouse.
Yes, Peppino.
Little Lou Monte.
Maybe not as good, but it's. But that's great because to me, that's how kids grow up. And whether you want to question the taste in music of the parents. To me, bringing the kids up to understand, music is just a big part of society. It's a big part of day-to-day life. And, they can hear the theme songs and the songs in the movies. But to me, in the car, I want them to get a little bit of a musical education. I taught my daughter who Hootie and the Blowfish were, when she was, 2.5 or whatever. I had the discussion. So, there's been times where I've gone through, and I remember her still, rapping Shoop when that would come on by Salt and Pepper. So, there are songs that maybe they shouldn't hear, but...
Well, and they use, there's a little bit of low key swearing. It's going to gloss right over because they'll gloss right over it because they're not even paying attention to it. But she, the music I think we grew up on is so good. And I think, exposing them to as many of those songs from the 80s and 90s is awesome. I mean, Gianna goes to sleep. She actually requests, can you put on Billy Joel's Piano Man?
Yeah.
Which, song about his life.
Is your daughter secretly Scott Criscola?
No.
Oh, that's good. Luckily.
A big Piano Man fan. And she likes Pentatonix. So random. The Christmas stuff.
Right, right.
She likes Mary Did You Know.
Is she a Marilyn Manson fan?
Yeah, no, not Marilyn Manson.
It's funny because I remember growing up, my dad just always left the oldies on. I remember growing up on, solid gold oldies. I knew everything from the 50s and 60s, every song. And my mom was big into soft rock, Light 105, Art Spencer, who, by the way, now works at McDonald's or something.
Does he really?
Yeah, I looked at his Facebook page. Talk about going from the top to the bottom.
We have to go see him.
Yeah. I don't think he's here. Which is funny now because I'm so into the yacht rock, which I think is just an extension of having grown up and just listened to all those songs as a kid.
You're cultured in music, yeah?
Right, yeah. They didn't, you know, whatever. That's what we listened to in the car, you know?
Yeah.
By the time I was old enough, I had my Walkman and I listened to my wrestling themes or whatever. By that point, that's what I wanted to hear. But for a long time, it was oldies in the car. And, you know, I knew I could probably ace a quiz on, like, oldies songs, you know, for a long time there. I probably still could.
Now our songs, growing up, buddy, are oldies.
Right? Oh, my God. Like, what is, like, does B101, what are they up to now? I know they were, like, into the 70s and early
80s. Oh, no, they're in the 80s because I've heard Bon Jovi on. Bon Jovi's on B101 here and there. A couple of his songs.
Fucking Chubby Checker used to be on
B101. Yeah, I know. It's, but, yeah, I think, you know, the music that they have today and kind of, again, the times changing with technology, I think giving them a wide variety. I try to play stuff around the house too, because I like a wide variety of things. I like Big Pun. I like rap. I like, you know, some soft rock. I like country. So you get Garth Brooks in my house here and there, you know. So, and just, she might not, you know all the songs, but kind of introducing them to that gives a little bit more diversity for the car. And it's usually not really a battle. And I'm willing to negotiate when she does have a request, and we go from there.
Yeah, we talked about Disney, like the princesses in the movies. I mean, some of those songs are fine, too. You know, the stuff I don't want to hear is like the kiddie music.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind if it's the songs from Frozen or the songs from, you know, Moana's big right now. Like, that's actually, I think, the first. She'd watched most of The Little Mermaid, but when she was with my parents this weekend, she actually watched all of Moana. So I think that's her first official full movie that she sat through and watched. And those songs she likes, I mean, that shit's fine. But I never gave in to, like, the kiddie tunes or the kiddie songs or the kids bop, you know, or all that weird-ass shit. Like, to me, that's, like, a level I'm not willing to go to. Like, I'd rather deal with, you know, whatever, having her bitch her way through Baker Street than give in on listening to kids bop.
I mean, we did, and she still does it here and there, is the little series Lullabies. That's really the only kids stuff we ever did in this.
Breaker of it.
Well, it's fine now, but, and we have like another little series that's more of the upbeat songs, but it was never really like a big staple in our house. It was just put it on maybe to help try to, you know, soothe them, get them to go to bed. But for the most part, you know, I'll be turning stations. I'll turn the station, actually. She goes, go back. I like that song. And she may have only heard it once, but her taste is pretty good, I have to say.
She was super into My House last year when by Flo Rida, when they were playing that like constantly on the radio. That was her song, and she was singing to that a lot. But again, I'm not in the car with her as much as my wife is. So, you know, we talked about kind of kids taking things over. Like you mentioned earlier, you'd be on the couch at 6 a.m., daughter comes down, TV goes to her. What practices are you putting into place as far as dictating what they watch? Like, how much do you allow her to surf on her own? And this is no judgment zone. I don't care. But how much you let her surf on her own and find things on her own, and how much are you limiting and studying of what she's watching?
She never has control of the controller at all. She doesn't actually know how to use it because I've never really showed her. Michelle really hasn't. But she has a variety that, you know, we'll go onto Netflix and she'll try different things. So we kind of have this grouping of things that she likes. We try to bring choice in. I try to bring choice in through film, and that's a big struggle. Mm-hmm. Doesn't want to sit through film. She did sit through Moana. We have all the Disney ones. She likes, you know, How to Train Your Dragon and a couple other films. She likes Finding Dory, but for the most part, you know, in the TV world, it's Paw Patrol. She's into Elena of Avalor. She likes Nella, I think it's the Princess Knight. That's a new one. And she'll see things.
Palace Pets. I think we talked about Palace.
She has the figures, but she's never watched. But she would if I put it on.
It's creepy.
Yeah, if I put it on, she would do it. So we don't. I wouldn't say we dictate, but she has her cohort of shows that she also really doesn't branch out from. And she likes Clifford, actually. Clifford the Big Red Dog.
What is the appeal of Clifford?
He's just a big fucking red dog.
It's so stupid. My daughter was watching it, and it's like, why did they call the girl Emily Elizabeth? Just Emily. Just call her Emily. But she
E squared.
She was hard into it for like 3 weeks. And we're going to this at our local library. They're opening a new playground and Clifford's going to be there. And it's such an odd choice of like an animal or like a costumed character to be at the event is Clifford. And she was like excited by it. I'm like, what the fuck is like, I put
When's
Clifford,
he coming?
I put Clifford. I put tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Maybe I'll take her.
You want to go?
Maybe. I might because I have see, this is here we go. I didn't have any plans.
Oh, yeah. Come with us.
Maybe I'll meet you guys there because Michelle has to work.
Yeah, 10 a.m.
All right. 10 a.m. Okay.
Julianne will be very excited. But yeah, I mean, Clifford, I put that in the bucket with like Curious George, like where it's just boring shit. Like, and Curious George, while I'm on the topic, because this one's been burning me for years. What is with the man in the fucking yellow hat? Like, he looks like the most uncomfortable person I've ever seen. That hat is so stupid. Like, this gigantic top hat that looks wedged onto his head. And he's always dressed up. He's got this, like, these galosha boots on, you know, that he's fucking quahogging in. And then he's got this ridiculous tight pants. Like, what is his deal? Why is he dressed so uncomfortably? He's got the shirt, the tie, like, loosen up.
It's not about him.
But he lives with a fucking monkey. Why is he all dressed up?
There are a lot of issues. There are a lot of issues. I mean, you know, she watches that once in a while. We have some of the books, but I agree with you. It's not really... So
the man lives with a goddamn monkey that he treats
well,
like a child.
Dave Seville with the chipmunks, you know.
But at least he dresses down.
Yeah.
Like, why are you so dressed up so formally? You live with a monkey. Why are you wearing a goddamn top hat in bed?
He's going and ready to like go on some type of like weird safari or give like a tour at a zoo. Or
I guess
like
that's what it's supposed to be, yeah, right? That he discovered George.
I don't even know. It's been around for so long.
We get it. We get it. We know you went on safari. He's like, it's like the people leave the ski tags on their fucking coats. Like, we know you went skiing. This guy, like, we know you went to the fucking to Africa to find the monkey. We get it. You can take your safari gear off. It's fucking 90 degrees in whatever town you're living in. We don't need the top hat.
Oh my God.
We get it. Oh, what a fucking weirdo, the man in the yellow hat. Have you ever seen the read the original, like the origin story of Curious George with
a
giraffe?
Time ago.
Yeah, we got it from the library. We'll get it tomorrow. You can take it out while we're there. It's an interesting story. Cecily, I should say. Cecily,
the giraffe.
I think I forget now. It was like I don't know, Cecily Strong or something like that. But it was it's an interesting story, and it was a nice mix-up by, mix things up a little bit. Curious. But yeah, I don't get Clifford. Clifford's an odd one. It's an odd one. But anyway, we're way off track of where I wanted to go. So
it's some ranting. That's right.
You got me going on Curious George.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to go down that dark path.
So she'll use the iPad a lot and do YouTube for kids.
Yeah.
And she'll putt around a little bit, and you know the stuff on there obviously will catch her sometimes. I kind of let her just go and discover stuff. And when you hear it is when I'll step in. What she was into for a long time were the eggs, opening the mystery eggs. Have you heard about this fad?
No.
So these weird like mystery box eggs were, I guess they were like being smuggled in, like they're like illegal here. And they'd have toys in them or whatever, you know? And so it would literally be videos of people that would buy these eggs and open them. And that was the videos. And she would just watch them for hours. I mean, just, you know, we let her go for hours. She would just sit there mesmerized by these eggs. And then it started turning into the engineering family who would open the eggs. And they started, putting on plays, or they would act out, you know, the dad would and the daughter would like act out stuff with the figures. And they would put on these scenes. And I mean, on the surface, it's fine, I guess. But it's real fucking weird. Like, the dad is really, really weird. For the wrestling fans out there, it sounds just like Steve Corino. I never get to ask him if it was him. But the whole thing is very, very bizarre. And they put on these shows. You never really see them. It's just their hands moving the figures. But this whole subculture of the eggs and the families that put on plays and do all the stuff is like this weird dark corner of YouTube. And they're even on the YouTube Kids app, which is supposed to filter out a lot of that stuff. But I guess it's considered technically safe. Has your daughter discovered the engineering family or the eggs?
She's discovered the engineering family. My mother introduced her to that. And as we were talking about earlier, I don't think I've watched a fucking one episode of it. I think I looked over her shoulder. I mean, I'm trusting my mom filtered that out.
Right.
And, you know,
it's just weird. Yeah, they're not. Well, it's not bad.
You know, coming back to when we were, and I don't want to again say, oh, when we were younger. But, you know, you had a few television stations with, you know, very limited cartoons and things you had to watch.
Now, at set times.
Set times. Now, I mean, it's everywhere. These fucking, I mean, we set up like Paw Patrol and Elena of Avalar just to DVR like repeats and new ones, and they're on at all times of the day. I mean, 2 a.m., 8 in the morning, you know, it's just random fucking times. And between that and YouTube, just everywhere on the internet, everybody can now create something, and it's just, there's so much stimulation out there, mm-hmm. that it's like, okay, well, can we pick and choose a few here to stay with? And it's getting a little too much, I think. And for us, too, as adults, I think there's just way too much.
I'm overly stressed about what I need to watch and not watch.
Me too, and we shouldn't be stressed about that, but there's just too much out there.
And I get angry. I'm like, where was this shit when I was a kid?
Yeah.
Like, right now, I can literally, I have so many DVDs and shit of wrestling that, like, I'll never get to watch. But when I was 11 or 13 and just had hours of my life to kill, just lay there and just kill time, I would, you know, and I was watching the same tape of stuff over and over. When I was 18, I taped all the Seinfelds. I would just watch those tapes I had of the episodes, you know, like, and that was what it was. And you're right. And now it's like they take it for granted that they can put on the TV at any time. And my daughter does navigate Roku and Netflix, and she goes on her own. Like, she knows how to work the remote and find what she wants. She's super into Barbie right now. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because we try and she was into it about a year ago, and it's a little like a level above where she was at.
Yep.
And she was starting to mouth off a bit. And we don't want her watching it when our son is around. Have you watched Barbie Life in the Dream House?
No. So would she take, like, things that they said and, like, put them into her own?
Yeah, they just talk a little sassy, you know?
Yeah.
But it's kind of a funny show. And I found myself sometimes letting her watch it because what it is Barbie in the Dream House with, like, Skipper and Ken, and they're all in there, but it's done in the reality show format. So they do, like, they sit on the couch and talk, you know?
Yeah.
And it's actually, there must be some witty people writing it because it's actually kind of funny. And the fact that we kind of ban her from it, I'm like, I'd rather watch that than some of the other shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's not that bad of a show. If she stumbles into it, it's not that bad.
Well, I mean, it's, again, she's into the same things, and it's sometimes, you know, you don't want to use the TV as a babysitter, and that becomes a fucking lie.
Fuck that.
No, everybody says,
fuck
but
that.
But I was just reading something the other day, and it says, everybody sets out to not do that. But it's a lie. You end up doing it because sometimes you have to get shit done. I mean, I have to grade all this stuff from work.
And they're assholes. Yeah, I don't want to deal with them all day. Like, they can fucking go take an hour to themselves. That's their alone time.
Yeah.
And my kids both read. They're both really friggin' smart. They love to go outside and play. They are very imaginative. And you know what? Watching an hour or two with TV or the iPad has not done any destructiveness to them at all when it comes to learning curve and you know, they like painting. They like Play-Doh. They do plenty of other stuff. And I get not every situation is like that. But, you know, I never feel bad about saying, oh, I let my kids watch an iPad or watch my phone for a little bit because they do so much other stuff and they do so many other things that I don't think we should feel bad about it. Fuck that. That's stupid.
And they're sick too. I mean, that's all you can really do, and that's fine. And you know, mine's the same way that, you know, we read every single night. We actually read physical books. We don't read on the iPad.
Right. Yeah.
You know, she's doing Girl Scouts now. She likes to go outside. She's very imaginative too. Very creative. She'll go off and play by herself.
Right.
And I love that independence, even coming back again to what you said earlier, because I can get that time and grade papers from work, and she's off in the other room, and I can see her, you know, the baby's asleep or whatnot, but that's coming back to balancing that time and finding out, okay, can there be some times where, you know, we're all involved with something and being independent? I think that's just as important, too.
So my son's into trucks, like hard into trucks. I mean, we'll just drive by, like, construction sites and let him sit there and look at the trucks. And, you know, he points them out as we're driving. And one of his favorite ones is a backhoe digger.
Yeah.
And he calls it that. Like, we're driving, he's like, oh, there's a backhoe digger. You know, so, I mean, like, really into trucks. The books we take out of the library, all trucks. And we found these YouTube videos called Truck Tunes. And it's these, you know, it's literally just footage of the trucks. And these people make up songs about them. Right. So it's like, oh, dump truck, dump stuff, dump space, you know, and it's like they do it like in various like styles, too, like a rap or like a country or like a pop, you know, here comes the fire truck driving down the street, you know, so it's like stuff like that. And he'll sit there. He stands in front of it because our TV's up on the wall. He will stand there and just watch this shit over and over. I mean, it's literally just trucks driving. And he's not one that's ever laid and watched like cartoons or anything. He has no attention span, but this shit has locked him in. And we have the YouTube app because we don't have cable. So we have the YouTube app on Roku. And when those end, it transitions into this guy named Blippi. Blippi is a giant man-child who makes these educational videos. I'll give him that. But he wears a beanie cap. He's got, like, nerd glasses, suspenders. And he acts like a fucking clown. Like, and he acts like a real low-level child that, like if you think of, like, a TV show that had, like, the dumbest possible kid – you know, like, this is what he's acting like. Like, just, like, he's, oh, the dab, 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 let's go in the fire truck. And he's, like, dancing around. And, like, every time he walks, he does this weird, like, crooked walk. It's just really odd. And what he does is he takes you on tours of different, like, kinds of trucks and different events and stuff. And my son is, like, super into him. Like, you know, he talks about Blippi all the time now. And Blippi sells merchandise and everything else because he's trying to make money to fund this stuff. And, I mean, good on him. I guess he's done it. But have you had any exposure to Blippi besides, like, the short clip I showed you before?
No,
nope,
just the short clip, and that was more than enough. Just because, you know, Gianna's, yeah, she likes Blaze. Like, she'll watch Blaze once in a while. I don't know if Alex watches that, but that's actually an educational show. They talk about, they do math and science, it's STEAM, right, or STEM. And they do, like, a lot of stuff with trajectory and weight and all this physics, and it's cool. So, but Blippi, no, don't see myself checking out his YouTube videos. Again, here's another person trying to make money. Okay, yeah, okay, you're doing it. Good for you. I appreciate you trying
and
to go out there and do
is,
something. It's
this stuff is educational. I'll give him that.
But here we go. Yet another thing on the market that caters to kids. And it's like everybody wants to get that piece of the puzzle. And we're looking at so much quantity that where, you know, quality's taken a backseat to mm-hmm. that. I'm like, when we were younger, a little bit more quality than quantity. And
I mean, I wish YouTube was around when I was a kid. As you know, I mean, I have hours and hours of homemade movie footage. I would not upload it now. But at the time, if I had that outlet, I'd probably be Blippi or something, you know. Maybe not as, well, I don't know. I have worn suspenders. So maybe it would be. I don't know.
We could do our Subway reality show.
That's right. We always wanted to do that. All right. Why don't we do this? We got some mail, Don. Why don't we dive into mailbag here? Our buddy Brad, by the way, I want to pull up this message he sent me because he just sent it. And it was a really funny story. Here it is here. So he said, here's a story from my daughter tonight. The context is she was petting their dog. Dad, this is my petting hand. And she held up her right hand. And this is my hitting hand. And that was her left hand. And he qualified it by saying, we do not hit here. But there you go. All right. Our friend Lauren Ursillo wants to know, why do her kids eat boogers? Do they taste good? They can't resist. They can't stop doing it. Don, why are these kids eating boogers? You're a teacher. Tell me.
Well, I've caught mine eating them many times, and I honestly don't know because my kid has never given me a straight answer. She did it, and I caught her doing it. I said, what are you digging?
It can't be enjoyable.
I said, what are you digging for gold? And she laughed, and then she put her finger right back up there. She goes, and I'm going for more. And it's fucking disgusting. And I go, oh, that's gross. And she laughs at it. I think she knows it gets a reaction out of us, but I've never really gotten angry at that, and I don't really see her doing it too much. But I think it's... This is what I'd have to guess. I think they like poking their finger up there, feeling something that's interesting up there,
right,
taking it out. That I can understand. I'm not really sure about the ingesting it. Maybe they think it's some type of nutrients in there. I don't know.
So I guess it's just
gross.
A curiosity thing then.
Yeah, I think
right?
so.
I mean, that's all it is.
Some adults do it.
Yeah, they're gross. Yeah, it's odd. I don't know. They can't. I mean, I guess it's there, right? It's just there. And they feel it in their nose and... When you have something in your finger, you want to taste it, I guess. I don't know. It's one of those. It's an enigma. Mark Claire wants to know, what age would you consider child abuse to not bring your kids to WrestleMania?
That's all you. I
would say, I want to say 7 or 8 is when I'm going to try to break through with my wife and maybe have my daughter watch it. She's been curious. Like, they know I like wrestling. Like, my daughter talks about it. So, like, she knew I went to WrestleMania. You know, like, she's aware of what it is. WrestleMania is a long fucking show, as wrestling fans may know. It's like, you know, 6 hours or something. So I think to that, they probably gonna be maybe like 16, 17. But a wrestling show, I don't know, 7 or 8, if you have the right discussion. I mean, your daughter's what, 7 now? She's going to be 7?
No, she'll be 6. She'll be 6.
That's it?
6 in June. Yeah. Okay. I had to question for a second. I'm like, is she going to be 7?
See, I am curious. I am curious that the parents who have a little bit older children when they started. But Taylor Keehy wants to know, how did you guys with the young kids go to WrestleMania and balance WrestleMania with the family vacation? Master level parenting. Did you take other family around as dedicated sitters? I'm impressed. Well, Taylor, the answer is easy. We just left the fucking kids at home. And just my wife and I went.
Also boogers from Taylor.
Also boogers from Taylor, yes. But there are ways to pull it off. I mean, there are ways, like, you know, bring other family members that are committed to just maybe staying in with the kids in the hotel that night. It's not something we've really pushed to this point. Like, we've done trips with my mother-in-law and taken advantage at night. Like, we'll go to, like, we went to Sesame Place, we went to the park during the day. She stayed in the hotel with the kids. We went out after. So, you know, there are ways around it if you can pull it off. It does take some work. And, you know, the best way to be a parent and be successful and still have your own life is to hustle. Like, I mean, yeah. I just hustle. Like, I'm always trying to find a way to make everything work. And I try and just, you know, squeeze every last minute of my day to get something in. So,
and that's where that whole time management comes in. Like, right. Things I'm doing now after the kids go to bed, like we talked about, it's not even sitting down to relax. Sometimes it doesn't even happen on a weeknight. I'm folding laundry. Right. Or I'm just, you know, making her lunch and making my lunch, just the bullshit. But yeah, you have to hustle and you have to kind of set yourself a routine.
Right.
I know when I come home, I try to do the lunches, have all that stuff done in case I'm met with a battle later on. But more of a routine and trying to stay with it as best as possible. Sometimes you just can't. Sometimes it's just you have to modify. You're too tired. Things happen. But, you know, you take the good with the bad. And most of the time it's good. And it's a learning curve.
Always hustle. Our buddy Michael Cook says, any of your kids like the PBS show Odd Squad? And then asks, what's up with the Cookie Monster not eating cookies? What the fuck? Odd Squad. My kids do not watch Odd Squad. Yours?
Yeah, she's watched it a couple times, but I wouldn't say it's anything major. Mm. That she talks about a lot, so I wouldn't really be able to speak to that. But the Cookie Monster, I think that's going back to thinking about, ironically, we have more TV and kids sitting in front of it, but they're trying to promote that healthier lifestyle with, you know.
Did he ever eat the cookies? Or is that something new?
He definitely ate the cookies.
Well, I remember him putting them in his mouth, and I just assumed he was like anorexic.
No, I don't think he's even putting them in his mouth anymore. Because isn't there like a veggie monster now too?
Oh God, is it?
But it's coming back to, I feel a lot of things coming back to what we talked about previously when you're saying about the coddling and
what's
I think
wrong with cookies?
A softer generation. There's nothing wrong with them, but. You know, we're doing this and we're promoting this type of fake show. Have a Cookie Monster, have a vegetable monster, have a wide variety. Because I feel like they alienate some of the things deemed bad, but push something that's supposed to be like too good. Not everybody's going to be, kids aren't eating all these vegetables all the time.
Here's some inside info. Kids aren't addicted to cookies because of the Cookie Monster. They're addicted to cookies because sugar is fucking addicting. So if they've had a cookie or they've had a treat, that's what they want. It has nothing to do with seeing the Cookie Monster eat cookies. Like, my son has never said, oh, Cookie Monster, I want to have a cookie because he's eating a cookie. That is fucking serious. Sesame Street's usually better than that shit. Well, I don't know what's going on that they feel like they needed to go to those lengths. Are they getting like a rash of parents complaining about cookies? Like, how about don't buy the goddamn cookies?
And he's been around since the 60s. I mean, for Christ's sake.
He's a fat guy. Let him have his cookies.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I could go off on a tangent about that and the lack of Big Bird. But, you know, that's
Big
another
Bird's
show.
Not around anymore. My son's been out on Sesame Street.
Well, I mean, we have too, but I know from just checking in periodically,
right.
He's not as prominent as Elmo. Hmm. And he hasn't been. It's just like, all the McDonald's characters when we were growing up, they don't even have characters anymore. They've eliminated these icons.
Well, McDonald's is worse than cookies.
Oh, of course, yeah.
all right, so we got one more here. I want to save the best for last. This is from our friend Miranda Catherine Berthold. Of course, you can hear her and Jennifer Smith on the Geek and Sassy podcast on this very network. And Miranda has some comments about Caillou. Caillou is kind of a dick, and she doesn't like him at all. And here is her rant that I asked her to provide to us to read on air. My hatred starts with the theme song. I get that everyone deserves one, but they are truly the ramblings of a child that has been awake for more than 24 hours, which sadly is the thing. I mean, he's rambling on and on basically about how much of a brat he can be. There's the fact that the entire show is narrated by his grandma, who I swear has to be Captain Obvious's mother or some crap. Caillou is cold, so he put on a coat. No shit. We can see it. I get it. Then that cringy, creepy voice she has. Maybe they're trying to prove that she's older, but no one is considered old has ever sounded like that to me. Anyway, back to Caillou himself. That laugh. I mean, it's like a weirdo horror movie little kid laugh that rakes at my nerves, and he does it so many times an episode, I may turn his laugh into a drinking game. Let's not forget this kid is the brat of all brats. If memory serves me correctly, he once threw a tantrum over another kid falling while they were playing. Come on. I'm a mom to an Asperger's kid, and he gets upset about a lot of nonsense. A lot. But Caillou makes me want to punch things with the amount of tantrums he throws. He treats all the adults on the show like they're complete idiots, and they let him. I do not know how many times I looked at the screen and screamed, "Spank his ass already!" The day that my kiddo, now 10, looked at me and said no, because he no longer wanted to watch the trash that is this show, I think I sang praise to God himself. Don, do you have any experience with this little piece of shit, Caillou?
Just a little bit, and I concur with everything that she said. Because it's teaching kids to say no, to think about, okay, if you whine, you're going to be able to get what you want. And that's not what we're trying to do as parents. We're trying to move them away from that. Have them become those effective problem solvers. Have them figure shit out on their own. And if they do cry, you know, we're not giving into those demands all the time, because then they have the upper hand, you know?
I agree. He's a little pissant. I mean, we banned it pretty quickly. Like, we came across it when my daughter was staying with her old babysitter when she'd go there during the day, and I think it was on there, and something came up with that. And we vowed that, I mean, I'm pretty lenient with what she watches. She will never watch a minute of Caillou ever. Like, I will burn the TV before I put Caillou on that thing. He's a little piece of shit, that kid. And I am all set with that whiny little fucking... I mean, I deal with enough whining. Like, I don't need to hear Caillou whine too. But we're gonna have to do a whole other episode of whining. Whining's another big topic.
Maybe we should, before that, we could screen it a couple episodes of Caillou.
Do a live watch.
Bring it in. Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. All right. So it's been a good hour, Don. We talked about a lot of topics. It's been a lot of fun. I'm pretty hungry though, and I want to eat. So we're gonna wrap things up. We will be back soon. We have a couple of really good episode topics planned, and some different guests as well. But if you have any ideas for a show, any concepts for a show, or any comments, leave them on our social media pages. Facebook.com/place2be nation or place2be nation on Twitter, and we'll read them here on the show. It's been a blast. I hope everyone enjoyed the new theme song. Did you have a good time?
I did. It was a lot of fun. Looking forward to the next night.
All right, we'll be back. We're gonna go enjoy our night off. Everyone take care, and remember, it's okay to be a shit parent every now and then. it's not easy. It's worth it in the end. Of course, kids are great, but there's a lot of trials and tribulations along the way, and we're all in it together, so that's what we're here for.
That's right. Good night, everybody. We'll see you later. Welcome to my house. Hey, welcome to my house. Morning comes and you know that you want to stay. Close the blinds, let's pretend that the time has changed. Keep our clothes on the floor, open up champagne. Let's continue tonight, come on, celebrate. That's how we do. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my